Amen. Amen. All right. The confession of faith. Everybody say confession of faith. Now, see it in three scriptures here we're going to open with. Hebrews chapter 4, 14, it says, seeing then that you have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us, everybody say, hold fast our confession. Look at somebody next to you and say, you hold fast your confession. Now, he's talking about the confession of faith. Now, why does he mention Jesus passing as our great high priest to the heavens? Because Jesus does something with our confession of faith. He's not sitting up in heaven with his legs crossed and chilling out because he said, well, look, I went to the cross. I went to the heart of the earth. I got raised from the dead. I overcame, conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I've been raised up. Now I'm relaxing. No, he's not relaxing. He is in present day ministry. Everybody say present day ministry. So what is he doing? He is taking what you say in faith and making sure it's carried out. Because we said it before early this month, words are containers. They contain things. But if they're words of faith, they give Jesus something to work with. They give Jesus, our high priest, our great high priest, something to work with. It tells Jesus, I'm interested. You're interested in healing. His healing promises coming past in your life. You're interested in the prosperity promises and provisional promises coming to pass in your life. You're interested in family salvation, family peace. You got to hold fast your confession of faith or confession of what you're believing to receive. That's what he's talking about. So your words are not inconsequential. There's no such thing as inconsequential words. That's why you got to hold fast your confession of faith, because when you confess your flesh or you confess your fear, you nullify, neutralize, and negate your confession of faith. You let your lips slip, amen, and loose lips sink ships, right? You can't say, well, in church, hallelujah, amen, in the name of Jesus. And then at home, you're talking flesh and feelings and frustrations and fear. You did not hold fast your confession of faith. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, in the midst of sense contradiction, when you got four walls naked around you, screaming at you, defeat, despair, agony on you, You got to maintain your confession of faith. That was enough to come here and come to church this morning. 1 John 1:9. If we confess, there it is again, our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So sin goes out by the way of the mouth. Righteousness comes at the way. How do you get sin out? Mouth. I'm struggling with this. I'm having a hard time with it. Have you confessed it? Amen. And so what the Father God and Jesus do, again, their ministry is to be faithful and just to forgive you. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is legal and vitally important to you. And then the blood of Jesus cleanses you from whatever sin stained on you. And then you cleanse from all unrighteousness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But the condition is if you confess your sin. You confess your sins. Praise God. Because when you're missing it, brothers and sisters, when we miss it, when I miss it, I have to look first, where did I miss it? If I'm struggling or if I'm suffering, you know, unbearably, what's going on here? I got to look inside and listen to the Holy Spirit and say, what have I retained as far as sin in my life? Sins of omission or sins of commission? Y'all here? And then number three. the third verse, Romans 10, 9 and 10, look at this, that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that good? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see verse 10 is the guiding principle that we must take away this morning. The first lesson and the first part of faith mentioned in Romans 10:10 is to believe with your heart. What does it mean to believe with our heart? Well, look at Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Very familiar scripture, right? Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Is he talking about the blood pump, the cardiovascular vessel? No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about your spirit, your newborn, recreated human spirit, the man on the inside, the hidden man of the heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And he said, don't lean to your own understanding. So that's your intellect. That's your mind. That means something that you calculate, reason, or reflect on from outside sources and your physical senses. Don't lean to what you see, feel, or the physical evidence is dictating to you. He's telling us how it works. Trust in the Lord with what? Your heart, all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, natural mind. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So natural human faith, brothers and sisters, and heart faith are two different kinds of faith. This is where people miss it sometimes. If you will believe the word of God first, the physical evidence will take care of itself. Now, this is where you have to have faith in God's system and process. Because faith works for anybody. And faith will work on anything. Oh, my goodness. Faith will work for anybody, and faith will work for anything. Now, what we're emphasizing is confession of faith, because most people don't miss it in believing in their heart. They're missing it with speaking with their mouth. Amen? Somebody say hallelujah. So to trust, believe and trust God with your spirit, to believe with your spirit and not your feelings or your body, what you feel or what you see or sense through your intellect or mind, believing with your spirit, heart, means you choose to believe God's word versus contradictory to what you feel and see and what the physical evidence looks like. Do I need to say that again? Do I need to demonstrate it again? Because some people say, well, I feel. And there it goes. You've decided now to believe what you feel. You've decided now to contradict the word of God because you see something different. That's not faith, that's facts based on feelings and senses. Faith is deciding to believe God's word first. Even if it contradicts what you're seeing out here or feeling or what the facts say. And it's because we live in such an expressive society, and sometimes we're trained in drama and emotionalism and hype because of the breaking news we get every day, the notifications we respond to every day, and the texts and emails and TV and social media that we indulge in every day. We get conditioned to respond to what we feel, what we see, what we sense out here in the natural. So the devil just says, I'm going to just tweak you to respond to everything you feel. Oh, I'm feeling this pain. My feet are killing me. My back is hurting. What does the word say? Your confession of faith is tied into believing in your heart what the word says, not what you feel or see. So your confession now, brother, is saying the same thing the word says. Oh, according to the word of God. And by his stripes, I am healed. Well, Pastor, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. That's not faith. That's not Bible faith. And every once in a while, sometimes you might get an upset stomach and your bowels are running, and you might have to go to the toilet more than you want to. And most people say, I got, fill in the blank. Or the temptation comes and pulsates through your temporal lobes, and you're starting to feel that fever or headache come, and you say, I got. We condition, and then we run first to what? Mr. Acetaminophen. Tylenol. Or pseudoephedrine. What is that? Motrin. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Our faith must be based on what God's word says. I'll say it again. Our faith must be based on what God's word says. Our faith must be based on what God's word says. The spirit or the heart of man believes in the word regardless of seeing the awful evidence, hearing the bad report, or feeling the pain or pressure. His or her believing does not depend on his sense knowledge. It depends on the word of God. You know, maybe in a relationship you have people acting up. People being selfish, people being insensitive to you. What are you calling them? What are you confessing over them or about them? Everybody gotten quiet today. You calling it like it is, or you calling it how you want it to be? And sometimes we think, okay, it's harmful if I just vent a little bit. Is it? It's harmless if I vent a little bit. Is it? It's harmful. You just hurt the relationship. You just updated the problem of that relationship. My kids never. My spouse never. You always negative, 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 negative. We lose it 1 inch below our nose. The power of the tongue. And we've been talking about that all month, right? The power is in your tongue. Life or what? Death. How do people bring death and difficulty and division and divisiveness in their relationship? The way they talk. But the talk, the heart-mouth connection in Romans 10:10, as you see, you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. So you've been believing what? You see, feel, and experiencing, so you say what you see, you say how you feel, you say what you've been experiencing or what they're not doing or what they are doing wrong. So you have natural faith working, not Bible spiritual faith working. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the what? Heart, your mouth what? Speaks. Come on, everybody lift your hands and thank God. Come on. Y'all seem like y'all choking on that a little bit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes I see how people express themselves on social media. Or text messaging. They telling me at least how they feeling. How they're frustrated. How their flesh is going through. That's not faith leading you. That's flesh. That's fear. That's frustration. And when you're frustrated, you're not in faith. You frustrated with your money problems? You need to change what first? Your mouth. and change what you put into your ears, into your heart. Because with the mouth, you believe. With the mouth, with the heart, you believe. With the mouth, you receive. Confession is made unto salvation. Whew. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Little small example, not bragging on me, bragging on God. So this quarter, which ends Tuesday on my job, the last quarter, which was April, May, June, on my job, you know, I made bonus. Everybody say glory to God. But my boss made such a big whopper bonus. And what did I say? I said, boss, how can you make all this big bonus and I'm down here with the little bonus? I was grateful for the little bonus. But he made big bonus. I walked away and the Lord said to me, what are you saying about what you saying what you get? Your confession rules you. Your confession dominates you. So what I believe that I didn't believe I can get a big bonus like my boss. So he said, why don't you step up your believing and your speaking? So I said, Lord, I'm going to believe you that I'll make bonus by the end of August, which is 2 months instead of 3 months. And then September will be extra. Sure enough, I kept saying it. I kept saying it to my pastor friend who works with me and then to others. I said, by the end of August, I'm going to achieve bonus, and then I'm going to have the whole month of September to get more bonus. Guess what happened? End of August, I made bonus. And in the month of September, I went up another two levels of bonus. Somebody say, glory to God. But it's believing and speaking. What are you believing? What are you speaking? Because he corrected my belief and said, you believe in that you can stay low or not do anything, unlike your boss who believes that he can get big stuff. He said, you need to march your faith right up there and get more. Now, I know I'm not just talking to me because that wasn't just for me. All glory to God, but some of us need to march our faith up there to receive more. You've got to change your believing and change your speaking. If you're talking ugly about your money, your money's always going to stay funny. You talk about the lack of money and I ain't have enough and I don't have this, blah, 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 and you're going to run your money out. If your husband and wife, if y'all disagreement and in strife, you're going to run yourself broke and barely get along. Because faith don't work if you don't forgive. Faith doesn't work if you don't operate in love. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now let's look at our keynote scripture here. Mark 11, 22, 24. So Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. So what is he saying when he says this? He says he means have the God kind of faith. So he's getting ready to describe to us what the God kind of faith is. Here it is again. Let's look at it from another angle. For surely I say unto you, who says, look how we got it underlined and bolded, to the mountain. That means say. Or command the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, there it is, that those things which he says or says out loud. I could not say silently, sister, I'm gonna make bonus by the end of August. I can't say it to myself. It must be a public confession. Someone say, well, isn't religion personal and private? No, salvation is personal, but it's never private. You got a confession of faith should be public. Whoever says out loud. And what? Those things which he says out loud, that's what that second statement, will be done. He will have whatever he what? Says, which is another word for say, which means systematic set discourse or building blocks. So I kept saying, by the end of August, I'm gonna make bonus. I made bonus, then some, and then kept going up in September. And November, I've already released my faith for October, November, December. Now, that's a clue for some of y'all. You need to get your faith out there in advance. Don't wait till you get up to a mountain and say, Because remember, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it will never be strong enough to move your mountain. Because we talked about last week, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you would say. So if we took inventory again, what are you saying about your money? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your house? What are you saying about your body? And Lord reminded me, you know, a couple years ago, 2023, he said, you were saying a lot of things about your body. You took control of your medical issues, and you made me, the Holy Spirit, your medical advisor. So I said, I'm not going to stay connected with a kidney doctor and a nephrology clinic. They said, well, you're going to be in there forever. No, I kept saying. I kept calling those numbers down. And if you ever dealt with kidney issues or kidney situation, they look at your GFR, which is growth filtration rate, and your creatinine. So I call my creatinine down. I call my GFR down. I call my vitamin D levels up. Because faith without works is what? Dead. But if I let the doctor direct it, so they say, he said, Mr. Woodis, my doctor, the kidney doctor with the VA, I worked with the VA, he said, Mr. Woodis, you're a rare case. This is 2013. You're a very rare case. We're going to promote you today. We're going to promote you out of the nephrology, because I had my, everybody know in 2013, September 2013, this is the anniversary, 2023. It's been a year. This 25, this is, was it last year? Okay, it was last year then. Last year, this is a year anniversary, excuse me, year anniversary, I had my adrenal gland removed, which it's a little thumb-sized gland on top of my kidneys. Your kidneys is like a fist, and then the adrenal gland sits on top, a little fatty tissue in between. They took it out, but I believe God that it would go smooth. I'll be, and everything shifted back to normal. All the numbers went to normal. Now, again, I asked the Lord, why didn't I have, why couldn't you deal with it? He said, well, you needed to go through the process. Believe in God for a successful surgery, right? And believe in God and being a partner with me to help your medical numbers get better. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So I've been graduated out, and I'm permanently graduated out. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And my numbers are getting better all the time. So there's a reason for everything. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, some of us get lazy and said, Lord, doctor, you tell me everything I need to know about what my health is. No, you have to make the Holy Spirit your medical advisor through the word. And he tells you, what scriptures do I need to speak over my endocrine system, my central nervous system, my muscular system, my digestive system. Come on now, my cardiovascular system. My circulatory system. What you say is what you get. What you got is what you've said or not been saying. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because if you don't say anything, you lose by what? Default. Because Jesus said, you will have whatever you say. And if I switch it or change it to start saying what I feel, I'm losing victory over that pain in my knee or my hips or my back or in my chest. Because I switch it to start saying what the pain is. And I go back to letting the devil dominate me now. He dominates us through symptoms and sight and senses. Woo. Come on, lift your hands again and thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said, thank you, Lord. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever you ask when you pray, what is your first thing you do? Believe that you receive them and you will what? All right, let's quickly talk about the four kinds of confessions. The first is the confession of Jews. We see in Mark chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, John came baptizing in the wilderness, and what did he do? And preaching the baptism of repentance and remission of sins, and all the land of Judah and those from Jerusalem went out to where they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Everybody say confessing their sins. Now, that first one we don't do anymore because Jesus has already come. It was confession because Jesus was sent to the household of Israel, the Jews. And so that one we don't use. They were preparing the way for the Lord. Number two is one we use. Number two, Romans 10:9, that if thou you will confess, everybody say confess, with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the great confession. This is the big confession. The word translates, Greek word translated confession or means to covenant. See, Savior is what the Lord did. Lord is who the Lord is. Lord is who he is. Savior refers to what Jesus did, but Lord refers to who he is. So my life is not my own. I give Jesus full authority over my path. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so Jesus as Lord, we say when we confess, we covenant, we confess that Jesus as Lord, we are making a covenant with our mouths that Jesus is our Lord. The word Lord means supreme authority. It means whom a person or a thing belongs. It means master, ruler, owner, controller, and it means that Jesus makes decisions for us. Amen. So a good habit. One good habit, I'm going to give you two of them today. One good habit is when you start a situation comes in, what's the first thing you should say? Jesus is Lord. Now, sometimes we get out ahead of the Lord. We make decisions on our own based on our feelings and our flesh and our unrenewed mind. We go out, run out ahead because we want to fix the problem. Or we want to say something too quick. If you don't say anything, you lose by default. But the first thing you should say, Jesus is Lord. The tornadoes of life come hit you. You say what? Jesus is Lord. So you get back in covenant with the Lord. Right? And Matthew 10. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. That's his priestly ministry he's talking about. Who denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who's in heaven. That means Jesus will say, talk to the head. Because you're talking out of your flesh and you're talking out of your feelings. I don't hear faith talking. Because if faith would be talking, you'd be confessing me before in public. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so what happens? If I want you to notice that in the new birth and receiving eternal life, there must be a public confession. Public confession. Public confession is really making the break with the world. Because some people say, oh, child, oh, girl, what are you going to do now? Oh, what are you going to say now? And they're waiting for you to say the same thing that everybody else in the world, this wicked world, says. To react emotionally, react erratically. Act like you lost your mind, just vent your feelings and your frustrations, but you say, Jesus is Lord. He's going to tell me what to do. He's going to make the decisions for me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so to break with the world, it's a change of lordship. It defines our position. I'm sticking with the Lord in this matter. The confession of lordship of Jesus puts us immediately under Jesus' supervision, his care, and his protection. Isn't that good? So in conclusion, the sinner must confess the lordship of Jesus Christ. He must confess Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior to be saved. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. All right, number three. Go. Next slide. The believer confession of their sins when they're out of fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9. We see it. We saw it before. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this confess means to acknowledge the sin or sins. To admit your wrongdoing or wrong motives and attitude. You have to admit it. And you have to agree with God and the truth of his word to say, you know, God, you're right. I was wrong. Because God never misses it. When you sin, you got to acknowledge, I did do it. You got to admit my wrong. I had a bad attitude. I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. It was my misconduct. It was my mistake. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of that. Now, you got to get out of this taking 3 weeks to repent and taking 3 days to say I'm sorry. A faith man or a faith woman is quick to repent. Everybody say quick. That means you do it before the night falls down. And some people need to repent of, I'm not believing, trusting you for my healing. That's what I had to do first. When I was going through that nephrology clinic and going to the doctor every month. Who wants to go to the doctor every month? I don't even like driving to the parking lot because I have to walk a mile to get into the VA clinic. I'm thankful for it. But I don't have time to be going to the doctor every month. See you every 6 months, doc. Yes. Somebody said, praise the Lord. So I had to repent of being lazy with my faith. I'm not believing you for my healing. I'm not positioning my faith to battle against whatever that disease is, that diagnosis is in my body. I had to repent of being discouraged from building my faith up to confess and run that thing out of my body. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, this is what it's needed for. Praise the Lord. So that broken fellowship, sin breaks fellowship. Broken fellowship means we're spiritually separated from God's presence, power, protection, peace, and provision. Sin breaks fellowship, not necessarily relationship. You can be a Christian and out of fellowship. That broken fellowship many times causes what? Causes sickness, physical issues, shame, identity and relationship issues, sorrow, mental and emotional issues, satanic oppression, spiritual and mental issues. James 5:16 says, confess, same word, your trespasses one to another. Sometimes you got to admit to the person, right? Get it right before the night. Sunset, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen. The principle to practice is sin goes out by the way of the mouth. Righteousness, recovery, and restoration come in by the way of the mouth. Sometimes I had to repent of pride because I thought I was right when I was wrong. And I had to repent and say, God, you're right. And I had to tell my wife sometimes, you were right. Humility admits. Humility repents quickly. Pride says, I'm arguing my point. It's better to repent than to try to be right. Whew, is this good preaching or not? So is your mouth doing its duty in this area? Keeping your life spiritually pure by keeping the sin out. Number four, last one. We're good? All right, let's get this last one in. The confession of our faith in the Word, in Christ, in God the Father. We read it before. We'll read it again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our what? Confession of faith. Hebrews 10:23, King James Version. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without what? That's confession of what we believe or confession of faith without wavering. That means doubting, fearing, unbelief, for he is faithful, that promise. So he said, we got to hold fast that confession of faith. Look at 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. People don't like that word fight. But faith involves and entails fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? Eternal life, which you were also called, and have confessed what? The good confession. Are you making a good confession? In the presence of how many? Many witnesses. So what is confession in general sense in here in this context? Confession is stating something we believe. Confession is declaring something that we know to be true. Confession is proclaiming the truth that we accepted wholeheartedly. And these are the five things we are to confess. Right down there. So you take inventory today and say, well, have I confessed these things? Now here's another one. I'm just going to read it off my phone here. Here's another good habit. Whenever you're facing a challenge, whatever you're facing a difficulty or a dilemma, you know, one of my good scriptures is in Romans 8, and I read Romans 8 a lot. And then, of course, one's in 1 John 4:4. Now, many of us know it. Ye are of God, or I'm a God. I personalize it. I'm a God. I'm a child of God. And I overcome them. That means I'm going to overcome this. Because what? Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so in Romans 8, it says in verse 30, 31, 32, what shall we say to these things? So it already decided, it's already pre-decided what I say to these things that come against me. If God be for me, who can be against me? So I say it this way. If God is for me, this cannot be against me. And the Bible says, goes on to say, he spared not his only son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also freely give us all things? So I said, if he freely gave me Jesus, he'll freely give me anything and everything I need in this situation to be a victor and an overcomer in the name of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. So those are a couple of my favorite. But so it should be, I'm just going to read it off my phone because I got it here in notes. It should be a common practice for you to say in every crisis of life, listen to me, in every crisis of life, I am a victor. Everybody say it with me. I'm a victor. Let's practice. Say it with me again. I am more than a conqueror. The creator dwells in me. The greater one lives in me. He can put me over. The greater one will make me a success. I can't fail. Now, see, this is not bragging on you. It's bragging on the greater one on the inside of you. He didn't move in just to be a visitor, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't move in to create extra baggage and luggage inside your spirit. He's there eternally to help you walk in righteousness, walk in victory, walk in triumph, walk in blessings. So it's bragging on the greater one who's in you, and it will put him to work for you. In other words, you got to allow God to work in you and through you by your confession of faith. Because if you call the situation as it is, you're going to keep the Holy Spirit chained down or wrapped up. And he's going to be a perfect gentleman because the Holy Spirit's a perfect gentleman. He said, you didn't give me permission. You didn't give me permission to rise up big inside of you. You didn't give me permission to show myself strong on your behalf. You didn't give me permission for God to get the glory in and through your life and through your lips. You kept talking out of the side of your neck. You be talking how you feel and what you see. You just want to have a pity party with your friends. You just want to get attention and get sympathy to salve your feelings. The Holy Spirit's like a coach. He's not a coddler. He's a comforter. He's not a coddler. He won't coddle you in your flesh, your pride, and self-pity. He will coach you. Get up out of the ditch. Come on here. I'm in here with you. Come on. Let's get up. Say you're greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Say that you're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. saying all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So he'll put him to work for you. All he wants you is to open the door for him to work. How do you do? What's the hinges that are on the door to let God work for you? Let the God inside you work for you. Believing and speaking. You believe he's greater than your problem. You greater than your fears and greater than your doubts. Then you say it. You have to say it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So if you're born again, spirit-filled believer, you have to have in you ready to use anything you will ever need to put you over. Because some people say, well, I don't have the money. I don't have this. And some people look at me all twisted and wrinkled face because I say, well, we need $4,000 to catch up. I don't have that. Why are you talking about that, Pastor? I know who's in you. He who's in you is greater. It's not just my job to believe for it. It's our job as the church to believe for it. Somebody say hallelujah. Because God wants to use all of us as channels and instruments of victory and blessing and triumph. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo, you're going to make me preach too much. So everything's in you that you will ever need to put you over. What's putting you under? What's putting you down? You have everything you need to put you over. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The divine potential of all the power there is indwells in you. Come on, just hold your spirit or hold your stomach right now. Just say that all the power that's in the world, every potential for every overcoming every problem in my life is inside of me. It's inside of me. Now, if you'll believe the Bible and begin to confess what it says, the greater one will rise up in you and give illumination to your mind, direction to your spirit, health to your body, and help in every aspect of your life. Somebody say, woo, glory to God. Say it with me one more time. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The greater one is greater than the devil, greater than disease, greater than poverty. Greater than lack, greater than any financial attack, greater than death, greater than all the power of the enemy. And he lives in me. The greater one can make me a success. I cannot fail. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Stand to your feet, please. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to hear that. Pastor, I got all this problem. I got this going on. I got that going on. I don't care if you got 10, 15, 20 things going on. He's greater than the 10, 15 things going on, 20 things going on. Somebody say hallelujah. You can come out. You can come out with a victory shout. If you just let the greater one in you out. Hallelujah. You got to believe it and speak it. And thank God for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Stop accepting defeat. Stop accepting disease. Stop accepting that diagnosis. Stop accepting the dilemma with your finances and the dilemmas in your family. Start announcing the victory when you're in the face of you're faced with the crisis of life as a victim. Start announcing victory. Start calling and confessing victory. Calling blessings and triumph in your life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just pray for somebody next to you right now. Come on, reach out and just release victory over them. Release words of victory. Release words of triumph. Release words that release the life of God in them right now. You can put on something, some music.